Chapter 5. Corey Archer came into the classroom, wearing a pair of jeans that rested perfectly on her curved hips. Her small t-shirt clung tightly to her body. She looked at Roiland and said, "Hey, is this seat taken?" Roiland felt an instant meltdown. Smiling back at Corey, he said, "It's all yours." With her next to him, he was able to forget Mr. Miller, Tuttle, and his problems at home. "Listen to the love birds," Tara Carson snickered. "Boy, Corey, you sure got him trained." Corey giggled and said, "Oh, you just don't understand him. He's a pussycat." She reached over with her soft hand and rubbed Roiland's neck. "Aren't you, Roiland?" Roiland shrugged his shoulders sheepishly and looked down at the ground. "Whatever you say, Corey," he said.
"I can't wait to see my surprise," she continued. "It's all I've been able to think about, and I'm starting to come up with ideas. If it's what I think it is, I'll just faint in your arms. I know it."
Roiland smiled. Here, sitting beside Corey in the sunny classroom, it seemed so much easier to dismiss all that had happened in the apartment. He never meant to hurt Mr. Miller. He had just borrowed some money. Mr. Miller would not have minded that. Roiland would have paid it back, except that before he could, Mr. Miller died of old age. That was all. How was that Roiland's fault? Maybe it was not even the missing money that triggered the heart attack. How could that old devil Tuttle know that for sure? If Mr. Miller was babbling about his missing money, it might have been just a coincidence. Tuttle himself said Mr. Miller was demented. Maybe he did not even know what he was talking about. The death of Mr. Miller seemed to dissolve as Corey's warm hand rested on Roiland's shoulder, then on his knee. Roiland began daydreaming about their future together. The dates at the beach. How proud he would be taking her to school dances. After Corey left for her next class and Roiland was walking alone in the hallway, Hakeem fell in stride beside him. "Man, it's none of my business, but that girl seems to come on awful strong. You know what I mean?" Roiland turned and glared at Hakeem. "You jealous? You mad 'cause she's not coming on to you? You know, Darcy and I got a good thing going. Look, Roiland, you and I have never been close friends, but as one guy to another, there's something about that girl I don't like." "Shows you don't know anything, man," Roiland said. "Corey's the most honest girl I ever knew. She tells a guy just what she's thinking, not playing games with your mind like a lot of girls do. She don't make you crawl just to get a lousy date." "Okay, Roiland," Hakeem said. Then he went ahead to join up with Darcy. When Roiland got home from school, he found Tuttle waiting for him. "What do you want?" Roiland almost spat out the question.
"Get off your high horse, boy," Tuttle said calmly. "My arthritis is kicking up, and the first and second floor hallways need mopping and shining. Folks spill drinks, stuff like that. Some tenants are giving me trouble about the dirty hallways, so why don't you take care of that for me?"
"What?
Listen, Tuttle, I gotta work tonight. I gotta be there at 5:30.
Tuttle looked at his watch.
"Well, that means you best start cracking, boy. It's 4 o'clock, and you need to shine up two long hallways real fast if you want time to grab some dinner."
"I can't do no work for you right now."
"You..."
Roiland began, his anger boiling over.
"Watch it, boy," Tuttle warned. "I'm going to have to work very hard burying our friend Ambrose. The cement has to be cracked, the dirt is hard, and I want to go deep enough. I just don't have time to do the halls, too. Now, if you prefer, I could just call the police and tell them what happened, and..."
"Okay, okay. I'll do the halls," Roiland snapped.
"That's better. By the way," Tuttle added, "I thought you might want this. Mr. Miller told me how much you like this one."
He handed Roiland a matchbox. Roiland took the box reluctantly from Tuttle's grimy hands. He slid the container open and gasped when he saw the tiny Porsche he had so often played with. Roiland threw it back at Tuttle, and it landed on the floor between them. Tuttle smirked, stooped, picked it up.
"The guilt is eating you alive, isn't it, Roiland? I used to be like that. When I was very young, before life hardened me, the guilt would gnaw at me too. Don't worry about it. As time goes by, you'll care less. You'll be able to remember Ambrose Miller and laugh at what a useless old fool he was."
"Just shut up," Roiland cried. "Don't say anything.
Just get out of my sight, okay? I'll do the floors, and then you leave me alone, okay?
Tuttle stood there for a moment, smiling, seeming to enjoy Roiland's misery. Roiland rushed through the job of cleaning and waxing the hallways. Amberlynn saw him when she came home from school and asked, "What are you doing, Roiland? Are you Tuttle's assistant now?"
"Girl, can't you just shut up for once?"
Roiland yelled.
"Why are you being so mean?"
Amberlynn challenged.
"I hate you so much. You're just like Tuttle. I wish he would adopt you so you can go live down there with him in the basement."
Roiland snapped. Mr. Miller's death, Amberlynn's harsh words, and her angry face were too much. Instantly, all his thoughts dissolved and were replaced with a blind, mind-numbing rage. In one quick motion, he grabbed the bucket of dirty, soapy water and poured it on his sister's head.
"Roiland!"
Amberlynn screamed. Her hair, shirt, and jeans soaked in the filthy brown water.
"I hate you!"
she yelled as she turned back into the apartment and slammed the door, leaving him alone in the hallway. When Roiland cleaned the spilled water and put the mop away, he returned to the apartment. His mother confronted him as soon as he walked in.
"Roiland Bailey, what has gotten into you?"
she yelled.
"Don't ever touch your sister, you hear me? Don't you ever."
"She likes to mock me, Mom. She all the time taunting me and dissing me, and I can't take it no more. She wishing me dead and stuff like that,"
Roiland lied.
"So I lost it. I threw water at her. I'm sorry, Mom, but she was asking for it."
"Roiland, do something like that again, and you ain't living here,"
his mother said.
"It'll break my heart to send you away, 'cause you're my child. But I'll do it if you don't learn to control yourself. You know I sent your daddy away, and I'll send you away too. You hear me?"
"I'm sorry, Mom," Roiland said.
"You better be. And the next time, sorry won't fix it. You hear? I got me a bad feeling, Roiland. You're going down the same road your daddy went. You're going to end up in a steel cage in state prison just like him. Just like your daddy. I got a terrible feeling."
Perspiration ran down Roiland's body as he retreated to his room.
"Don't say that, Mom. Don't say that," he pleaded to himself.
As Roiland prepared to leave for work at the Golden Grill, Darcy Wills arrived to babysit the younger children.
"Hi, Darcy," Mrs. Bailey said warmly as Antoine and Chad ran over and hugged Darcy's legs. "The baby's asleep and everybody's already eating dinner."
As Mrs. Bailey walked out of the door, she delivered the usual warnings to Antoine and Chad to behave.
"Hi, Darcy,"
Amberlynn said as she entered the room. Something seemed to catch her eye.
"Ooh, let me see,"
she exclaimed, pointing at the gold charm on Darcy's bracelet.
"It's an H," Darcy said.
"Hakeem gave it to me."
"It's real pretty," Amberlynn said.
"I bet Hakeem got it at the dollar store," Roiland interrupted.
"You should have dated me when I asked you, Darcy. Remember when I asked you out and you blew me off? I wouldn't be giving you some cheap trinket like that."
Annoyance darkened Darcy's face, but she said only, "Like they say, it's the thought that counts, not the price."
"You want to see what I'm getting for my girl?" Roiland asked.
Darcy shrugged, sitting on the floor to help Chad with his puzzle.
"If you want to show me."
Roiland went to his room and brought out the box containing the necklace. He crouched on the floor beside Darcy and held up the necklace. The gold chain draped itself over his fingers, and the pendant with the tiny diamond chips and ruby glowed in the lamplight. Seeing the beautiful shiny object, Chad forgot all about the jigsaw puzzle and grabbed for it.
"Get away," Roiland exploded. "Keep your dirty fingers off. This is for someone special, and she's the only one that gets to hold it."
"Oh my goodness," Amberlynn squealed.
"Where'd you get the money to buy something like that?"
"Don't worry about it." He turned to Darcy and was pleased to see her eyes widen. She looked mesmerized by the diamonds and the ruby.
"Now aren't you sorry you're not my girl?"
Roiland challenged Darcy.
Darcy smiled.
"Roiland, you know I'm happy with Hakeem. No necklace is going to change my mind about that."
She looked closely at the pendant. Still, that's a real pretty gift.
You got no idea what it cost me,
Roland went on, after putting the necklace back in his box and returning to his room.
A lot, I guess,
Darcy said as she pushed a puzzle piece towards Chad.
$300, Roland bragged. Yeah, $300.
But Corey Archer, she's worth it. I'm telling you, she's so crazy about me, she can't keep her hands off me.
Well, I'm glad you two are happy, Darcy said.
Really, happy ain't the word. It's better than that, but I guess you'll never know.
With those words, Roland left, puffed with pride.